Blog Talk Radio.
Yudano Lahinte from the YouTube page. She's filling in for the Ready Church, which my mom operates this particular channel. We're just going to talk about the new life in Christ. You'll find a set over in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and we'll start at the 17th verse. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanities of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past stilling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, which ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be ye kind one unto another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Talking about the new life in Christ and telling us to not walk as the Gentiles, as the other Gentiles, in the vanity of their mind, the vain imaginations and the things that can come in a person's heart that is not saved, the person that's not walking in the faith, the mind, the former mind that you had before you begin a new life in Christ, telling you to put off those things. and this is rendered as being rendered as a testimony that you do so in the Lord. Put off those old things and not walk as the Gentiles walked. But put on the mind of Christ. The thing to you know that formerly you had an understanding that was darkened and you were alienated from the life of God through your ignorance because you didn't have an understanding. So you're walking as unto your own vain imagination, your own things, because you didn't retain God in your mind. Because when you retain God in your mind and you walk in the faith, and that's what's on your mind, because there's a scripture that also says that he will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. That's talking about Jesus. Your mind has to be stayed on Jesus. So if you're walking in the flesh, alienated from the things of God, walking in your ignorance, which is your norm, which is considered deviant from the scripture. It's deviant. It's not a norm according to the scripture. If you walk into the flesh and the ignorance and the deceitfulness of your heart, and you walk in as the other Gentiles, those that are not of Christ, walking in blindness, which is the 18th verse of the fourth chapter of Ephesians, the blindness of your heart, because what's in your heart is what you're going to walk after. That's what you're going to do. That's going to come out in your actions. But in those times that you were ignorant and not in the things of God, that was your norm. That was what you thought to do. That was what the devil had given you instructions that because you weren't in Christ at the time. So this was talking about to put off those things. Once again, just recap and walk in the things of God. Move over to the 19th verse as I've read, and it says, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness." Lasciviousness is an unbridled lust. It's an indulgent, overindulgence, to work in uncleanness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, unbridled lust with greed, all encompassing of the same. That's what we did before the life in Christ, the new life in Christ. And it says, "But ye have not so learned Christ." Not learned Christ, not retained him, not have him as the center focus of your life for what you do, as your model, to walk after his way. Okay? So it says, "If so be that ye heard of him," your ears, with your mind, with your heart, "have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." The truth is in Jesus. If you had walked after him at that time and you know that the truth was in him, you wouldn't have been doing what you were doing formerly and having the need to follow his way. Because the Bible says that any man being Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So the 22nd verse says to put off concerning the former conversation. Put off those things concerning the former conversation. The old man, which is corrupt, which is defiled, which had the unbridled lust, and this particular verse talks about the deceitfulness, which is deceit. It pertains to trickery, all of that is untruthful. You had the corrupt man. So when you put on Christ, he clothes you in righteousness, in a purified clothing and purified garment, put on the whole armor of God that you may fight against the wiles of the enemy, that they won't overcome you, that you won't be sucked in, that you won't be overtaken. Okay? And it says, be renewed. It talks about, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your mind. And that you put on the new man. This is talking about spiritually. Put on the new man. Take off the old man. Take up the old garment and put on the new man, which is in Christ, which the truth is found in Jesus Christ, and walk after him. And which is, this is the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, sanctified. Sanctity, holiness, it's the opposite of what unholiness, the opposite of what uncleanness. So this is the 25th verse I'm going to speak about now. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. It's not only pertaining to the people that live beside you, wherever your dwelling place is, wherever you reside physically, but your neighbors, anywhere you go, on the street, wherever you are, whether it be, you know, in the store, wherever you are, wherever you go. The Bible also says, love the neighbor as thyself. You ought to love your neighbor as yourself. That's one of the commandments, which is found in Exodus, the 20th chapter. And then just before Exodus, the 20th chapter, which has the Ten Commandments laid out, given by God unto Moses to speak to his children, to speak to the nation, to speak to the world, to give a mandate, a layout of what to do and what not to do, is in giving the heart of God to his people who are living in a physical world. So it has spiritual connotation and physical, okay? As you go through the commandments, this is called mandamiento in Spanish. When you go through that list of what he says to not to do and what to do, it's a layout so you will know what you should do in this world, which can affect you spiritually. It goes together, goes hand in hand. So before Exodus 20 chapter, Moses called the elders, the people, and when he said to them, when he gave instructions, commandments, he said, the people answered. They said, all that the Lord said that we will do. So that's what we have to take on, that type of response, that type of way that we're living our lives to go after God. All that you've said, your promises, your commandments, your things that you said that we need to do and not to do, we want to take that and say that all that the Lord has said that we will do, as the elders said, people said, in Exodus, even the 19th chapter, just before the commandments were laid out. We get back to this. We're in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. We're at the 25th verse. We're still in that. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. You want to bear false witness against that neighbor, because if you do so, you're breaking the commandment. We want to speak truth with our neighbor. To speak truth with his every man, speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one another. We're members in our community where we live. You may live wherever, 3108. I may live at 3103. As an example, not the address where I live, but this is just an overall example, because you might live at 3108. I might live at 3103. This is just an example. Wherever you live, the community that you set out to live in and where you are residing, let every man speak truth with his neighbor, because we're members. How are we going to communicate together? How are we going to be apart? And how are we going to be together and not divided? Are we speaking lies with about and with one another. The deceit in our heart. So this is talking in our lives too as well, that spiritual walk and following Christ. We want to speak truth with our neighbors because this is, it's, we don't want to lie to people. Just be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Prominent scripture. It talks about if you have something at all to get in your heart against someone, lay it out. Let them know. If God leads you to that, let them know, which he will, in the spirit of Christ. Let them know and forgive. Forgive. The underlying thing, even if you don't let them know, you forgive because you need to release and let God know what's on your heart so you can be purified before him. So it's saying don't let any malice be on your heart, any envy, any strife against anyone when that sun goes down, when you, it's pertaining to when you go to bed, okay? When you lay down to go to sleep, you don't want to have things in your heart against someone else, okay? Because you might go to sleep in the, you might take a nap in the day. The sun might have not gone down. But you're sleeping. You don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't let the sun go down upon your anger, the wrath. And because you might not wake up. You never know. You go to bed like that, you don't want that to happen because that wouldn't be good and that wouldn't be pertaining and to having, walking in the new life of Christ. Okay? So you anger, but sin not, and let not this sun go down upon your wrath. So anger is a natural human emotion. We all live in the flesh, but we are crucifying the flesh to walk after the things of God. I'm crucified with Christ, as the scripture says, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, Christ lives in me. Now the life I live in the flesh, because we're living in the flesh every day. We crucifying that flesh so we can take up the cross and follow Jesus Christ. So we crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, in your heart. Now the life I live in the flesh, you walk in every day, that you see the people on your job, wherever you go, your family. I live after the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me on that cross, right? It says on the 27th verse of Ephesians 4, it says, neither give place to the devil. When you entertain him, entertain his thoughts, when you don't have your mind on Christ, when you are being overtaken by the emotions of things that are captivating you throughout the day. Because the devil is the prince of the powers of the air, so he's always working and trying to use someone all around about you to get you off from the things of God, which you're supposed to be walking in the newness of Christ, walking in a new life. That's different from your old man. So people can see that, okay? So, but the devil's always trying to use different people to come against you while you're on this walk in your new life in Christ. The Bible says in Galatians 3, it says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been set for evidently crucified among you. He was crucified. So the devil is using people, a person, to be with you, that you no longer should believe the truth and obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth. You saw with your own eyes, spiritually. You came into the newness of life, crucified among you. That scripture found over in Galatians, the third chapter. Let's get back to this. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Okay. Let's go back up. The 27th verse, where I left off, and I don't want to skip anything. It says, neither give place to the devil, which I read that, and then we go to 28th verse, which it says, let him that stole steal no more. Because if you steal, you're operating in as the thief. Over in John 10, it says, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that ye may have life more abundantly. In John 10 and 10, I think John chapter 10 and 10 verse. So in the newness of life in Christ, just let him that stole in your former life, your past, whatever you were doing before you got saved, let him that stole steal no more, but rather from labor, work, working with his hands the things which is good. The Bible says in Psalms 37, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. It says, so this goes, coincides with that. It says, let him that stole steal no more, rather let him labor. You have the ability to work. Working with his hands, work with your hands, the things which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Whatever you have to give to him that needeth, okay, with laboring in the gospel, he's preaching, speaking the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're laboring on the streets. If you see someone that needs to be witnessed to, you have that time to do so. It leads you to give them something, you know, some food. You might see a homeless person, you might give them some food or whatever that lays upon your heart to do, along with the word, letting them know about Jesus Christ, because his gospel is going to be preached to the ends of the earth before the end comes. Then the end comes when all that be fulfilled. Get back to this. It says in the 29th verse, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So you will hear us speak, and it's going to be no corrupt communication, because that's what the word says. We're speaking these things and alerting you and letting you know what's going on in the world, in the churches, because we were part of the church, which is building what we are no longer anymore. As of now, and we're just walking into his way. If he says something, that whatever he says, that's what we're going to do. We're going to be led by him. But this is what God has called us to right now. There's a time in the season. Okay, that was the time that we were in a building. If he says to come out, that's what we're going to do. You got to hear his voice. Whatever he's saying, you got to know it. And it's aligned with the scripture. Okay? So, right here, came together. The Bible says, forsake not assembly yourselves together, as the manner of some is. And that's what we do. We assemble, whether that be online, in a building, which is no longer in a building, we dim that. Whatever God says, we walk in it. What he leads us to do, that's what we do. So where he leads us, that's where we go, and that's what we do. Okay, so it's just, which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Grace. The grace is found in Jesus Christ. Okay. The Bible talks about that Jesus came with grace and truth. It's not going to destroy the truth of his commandments, the truth of God's words that were laid out in the Old Testament. The Old Testament and New Testament is coherent. It connects. It's not divided. It's all the word, the inspired word of God, and we're going to walk into it, and that's what we have, the Bible, and our walk is based on the faith, based on faith. And even in the first verse of the scripture, or the first part that I started the scripture reading, which is the 17th verse, talking about the newness of life, once again, recap. This is walk when it says, you know, walking as the other Gentiles walk, and in their vanities, in the vanity of their mind. You know, this walk in Christ is about truth. It's about walking after Christ. So the natural man perceives not the things of God, because they are spiritually discerned. The discernment that Christ gives you in the new life, it can't be understood in the former old corrupt life, the whole corrupt man. And when we talk about the new life, it's talking about spiritual, and that's this. That's not to say, okay, you're born, whatever your mom named you, and then later on you name something else, you know, when you come over as a Christian. That's not to say that you are, you know, you physically died and now you are, you have a new person as far as, like, your mortal body, your body that you're made of flesh. The scripture is actually not talking about that. It's talking about the spiritual, which is a death, a dying to the old man, and a new life in Christ. So he puts you together. He constructs you. He builds you up in the way that he would have you. That's the way they walk. That's the way they walk in the new life in Christ works. Let's go to Ephesians 4 and 30. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, which that scripture is talking about is grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is holiness. You don't want to cause any mishaps or any things that you cause to speak against the Holy Spirit of God, which is holy, sanctified, and should not be profane, and should not be spoken against. The grieve not the Spirit of God, and you should not grieve and make the Holy Spirit feel, for better words, or for understanding, cause sadness, cause degrading to the Holy Spirit. Degrade not the Holy Spirit of God to whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Okay? So we can understand grieving. When someone is grieved, they're crying, and you're making a person sad. We don't want to do that to the Holy Spirit, and whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. But all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Okay? And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Okay? So he's telling you to put away all the anger, all the wrath, all the speaking, all this badness. Put away that, and you know, getting back at someone and all this, whatever you want to do in that regard. This is not the walk of Christ. That's in the old man, the old unpurified, fleshly
life that you had that was not of God, that was not walking after his way, but rather be kind one to another and tenderhearted. Tender, which is, you know, soft in your heart, not hardened. Be compassionate towards one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Do you want to forgive your fellow man, your brother, sister, whoever that has did wrong to you, that you feel like you can't move past in your old way, but in the new way, God will give you the peace, and he will give you the stamina to endure. He will give you the heart of grace, that you will be gracious to your brother and sister and forgive them if they've done you wrong or anything like that. Chapter 5 talks about walk as children of light. Light is preserved. Salt is preserved. Light takes away the darkness. Once you turn on your cell phone and you find your cell phone in a dark place or your flashlight, you know, the darkness goes away. You can clearly see. It says, walk as children of light. The children of light, the children of Christ, the people who are saved, the believers, the saints are light in the world. And they are salt. The salt is a preserver, a savior. If the salt loses its savor, it's good for nothing. If you're going to preserve food, canned goods and things like that, you have to use a preserver. So the saints are preserving this world to lead people down the path that God has given, which is the narrow road, and which is truth, which is holiness, which is walking in the Spirit of God. So be therefore followers of God, as your children, walk in love, as Christ has loved us and have given himself for us in offering a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and uncleanness, fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you and as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are convenient. It's convenient. But rather, to God, we put away these filthy, foolish gestures and things which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. For this ye know, that no homemonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Sorry. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Okay, so this is talking about walking in love as Christ has loved us, and he's offered us as an offering, as a gift and a sacrifice unto his Father God, for a sweet-smelling savior, who God is. So he's a sweet-smelling savior. Fornication and the cleanness and covetousness can't be named among you, because you've been offered as the sacrifice and offering unto God. for sweet smelling savor. So there's nothing sweet savoring odor, aroma unto God about being unclean and filthiness and being whoremonger and disobedient and talking foolish and which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. Okay? And so you go out there as a one, idolatry in our lives, things that we place above him and before him, because he is supposed to be the center of our lives. So if we have idols, we have these things that we're putting above him, and the things that are not even, sometimes they're not even supposed to be there, depending on what it is in your life. You putting it, anybody and anything above Christ, it is an idol. So just to take it out. Just let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So we want to be obedient in his word. And be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometime darkened, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable. You don't want to do anything that's unacceptable. You want to do what is acceptable. It's proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, which, you know, Halloween and things that is obscure and represent darkness and doesn't represent light. We're not supposed to be a part of. This is have no fellowship, no communion, no fellowship with the unfruitful. Doesn't produce anything fruitful. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever do maketh manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thy that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what is the will of the Lord is. And again, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So, you know, you have to be of this understanding heart, and this word is going to guide you to what his will is for your life. And on this road and this journey that you take, there's only one way, and the way is through Jesus Christ. Okay? So don't want to be unwise. And be not drunk with wine. I'm in the 18th verse of the 5th chapter of Ephesians. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay? So it's telling you not to be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, and be filled with the Spirit, okay? So there's a scripture that also talks about in the Bible where it says to be not drunk with wine, and it talks about wine is a mocker, and those that are deceived by it. therefore are not wise. So if you're being consumed by alcohol and things like that, it's clearly saying in the Bible with clear references that you are not wise. You're not going to be clear and sober-minded. The Bible talks about being clear and sober-minded. That's the way you operate. You can do something, you know, drunken and not be of God. It's clearly not going to be of God because he didn't lead you to do that in the first place, to have it, to be drunk. So that's particularly what that scripture is saying. Speak, now 19th verse of Ephesians chapter 5, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns, it tells you what the Lord requires in the new life and walking as children of light, so the world can see a difference in you and you will be walking in truth, living in truth and holiness. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies in your heart to the Lord. So our melodies and our songs, I'm a musician for those that, you know or don't know. I am or was a musician for many years. I don't do much playing now, but, you know, in when I have some time to, I sing to the Lord and play music unto the Lord. And when you hear me, I'm singing melodies and making melodies, singing up to the Lord and those that are around me, because it says to speak into yourselves in psalms, edifying your brothers and your sisters and uplifting them in the word of God and through songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And we sing melodies and sing and make melodies in our hearts unto the Lord, just giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we also always give thanks unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one unto another in the fear of God. So that's letting you know that you have having fear and a reverence for God. This is talking about not being timid and scared of people, but having a fear and a reverence for God in so much that you will do his will, that you will be guarded, and that you say, hey, you know, this is what the Father requires of me. You submit it, you surrender it unto the Lord in your prayer time and so much, and your devotion, your scripture reading, and all the time that you have with the Lord. Therefore, your life is submitted to him, that you have a fear and a reference. The fear is talking about a reference, a reference that, you know, that you have to be explained, a reference that you have for your father or your mother, that you respect them. It's a respect that certain things you won't do, certain things you won't say to them. So that's what this scripture is talking about here. Okay. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So it's giving you the order which God has laid out, okay, wives to submit to your husbands as unto the Lord, ahead of your at the head of you, wives, is your husband. You're married. If you're married, that's the way the order and instructions clearly in Scripture here, which we follow, says, for the husband is the head of the wife, really says right here, even as Christ is the head of the church. Okay, so husbands is the head of the wife, and then wives, is under the husband, clearly, same thing. And Christ is the head of the church, so it leaves the order and instruction. And in order for that husband to be, you know, led of God, he would have to be under the headship and the instruction of Christ, which is the head of the church. He's the savior of the body. So, and I'm speaking of Christ. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Right? So, and those of you that know that the church is Christ's bride, the Bible speaks about that. And in Matthew's, in this one right here, Ephesians 26, moving along, it says that he may sanctify and cleanse it with washing of water by the word, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So that's the way God wants to present his church, his body, his bride. That's the way he wants it to be presented. You know, like you get out your ironing board. And, you know, people don't really do that, but I remember many years ago, you know, a lot of people, including myself, I do even to the day, but I know it's not as prominent today. For a lot of people, getting out your iron, and getting the wrinkles out, dusting. This is just a physical synopsis and an example of what this scripture is talking about. So you get out your iron, or you put your clothes in the dryer, whatever you do to get the wrinkles out. You put on the shout it out, or put some Clorox bleach in your clothes and get those spots out, then make them white. So that's the way it can. That's a physical example of what Christ is looking for spiritually. He wants us to be cleansed. He wants us to be clean. He wants us to be truthful. He wants us to not be deceitful. He wants us to be holy, and that, you know, that it should be holy without blemish. The latter part of that scripture says without blemish, without spot. So in the 28th verse, it goes on to say, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. So you love your own body, you bathe it, you do whatever you need to do, you take care of it, you know, you shave, whatever you need to do. It's talking about the example. So he that loves his wife loved himself. So, for no man ever yet hath hated his own flesh, but nourish and cherish it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. It's all one together. So you don't want one part of your body not operating and the other part is. You want everything to be working together. You want it to be taken care of. You want your car to be running. You want the oil to be changed. You want the, you know, the transmission need to be changed, whatever needs to be changed. You want, you know, power steering fluid to be filled. You want everything to be clean and running correctly. You want your tires to just, you know, treads to be not worn out. You want everything to be properly done that needs to be done in your car, your window washer fluid, radiant cooler, whatever. This is a physical example of what the scripture is saying. So taken care of, okay, and cherished. So for this one says, because your car is all working as a member of the same, is the car. One body style. If it's a Jag, it's a Jag. If it's a Jaguar or whatever. It's the same thing is that. That's the body. Okay. For we in the spirit, and your physical brothers and sisters out there who are members of the body of Christ, walking, sisters, Christian sisters and brothers, and the faith especially, they're members of the body of Christ. This is what, you know, you can understand here. We're members of his body, the Lord's body, and of his flesh and of his bone. For this cause, it says, the man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Okay, this is talking about marriage and being one with whomever God has set forth for you in your life, as far as your wife or woman, as far as your husband, you know, being of one flesh is going to be one together. You know, and have, you have a child. Some people can't have a child, but if you do, you know, it's going to be, you know, part of you and a part of him, whatever. That's how that works, right? So good understanding, precise and everything says that this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So it's always good to have the marriage that's sanctified and that's pure and that the reference and respect is there. You know, that the man is looking out for his wife. The wife is submissive and reverence for her husband, taking care of him. So that's what this is, and it just gives you a physical connotation in the, regarding what is the way the spiritual walk in the life of the believer in Christ and how it's designed. So that's it. We're going to, those that would like to participate and things like that, and a Bible reading, you know, it can take a year to read the entire Bible. We read it in English or in Spanish. Those of you that know, I do speak Spanish. But there's a clear and precise way that, you know, you can, it can be done. That, you know, the Bible, the entire Bible can be read in a year or even less. So those are, you know, some things that as the Lord leads, we might be able to get into that. You know, for those that, you know, that might want to participate, you can let us know. And, you know, you've heard on this channel, Ready Church, that, you know, no one really picks up and just reads right in the middle. And all that getting an understanding, reading from the beginning to the end, it's all together. And it helps you to learn is walking in the newness of Christ, walking in Christ, having a new life in Christ. Some people say to start in John, start in this one, start in that is fine, but the way to fully understand is to start at the beginning, like starting a book. You're reading a novel, you can start in the middle. You start in the beginning. So this is a good thing to, you know, propose as a full Bible reading. which can be done in a year or less. So I thank you for listening, and we hope that something was said that would help you along the way. I usually don't do this on the channel. I'm available for those, you know, that need assistance and things like that, whatever it may be, pertaining to the word, you know. Those of you that are active listeners that are out there know that I do avail myself. But I do thank you. And this time I will just pray for you. Hope that everything that was said, that you would have a clear, precise understanding of what was related. I thank you. The Bible says that, and it says in Corinthians, it talks about that where Paul spoke, and he was saying that his speaking, his teaching, what his words, he didn't want it to be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the power of God. That's the way we want it to be. So, now, I think some of the videos that you were seeing online, I operated the channel many years ago. I haven't recently, but it's a lot of content. Ayudando a la Gente on YouTube, and it has a lot of the material, such as like the Ready Church and everything, and I also assist over here as well. So wherever the Lord leads us to do, that's what we would do. You might not see me or talk to me on the phone, but I definitely avail myself to you. And when I'm able to, may not be all the time, but you can always call on Jesus, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. So, you know, and these scriptures that I was reading, as it pertains to those that needed the scripture and need things, they might be out on the street somewhere, and you witness, or okay, or you know, you might be on your job, and a lot of times when you're on your job, your main purpose is to come there to work, so you want to make sure you're doing that, and having that to be what you come to do, and not be trying to be seen of men to be some spiritual person on your job, to be set out for what you want to do yourself, because it's not going to be seen as God, and it's not. So use wisdom in what you do. It is a good thing. I'm not telling you, but advising anyone that, you know, that does it. So he leads you and give you a good understanding of what, you know, needs to be done. But it definitely, if those time comes available for you to share the faith and release you to do so, that you should do and never be ashamed of him. Yep. So I'll pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for everything you've done, for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify you always. Before we ask you for anything, we just lift your name up, say that you're high, lifted up, you're exalted. We thank you, Lord, for your angels that protect us along the dangerous highways. We thank you, Lord, for the hearts of the listener that are listening today and that will listen in the future. God, your word is truth, and it's going to last and endures to all generations, as your word has stated. We love you, we praise you, we glorify you, we magnify you. There's no one above you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray that you would bless these people in their lives. The devil comes as trying to roar and try to devour because the prince of the power of the air that is lurking at all times, trying to weigh us down with the burdens of this life. You said to cast all our cares on you because you care, and that you are a way maker, and that you are a burden lighter. You lift our burdens, God. You make a way out of no way, God. Even when people in our communities try to come up against us, you are our fortress. You are our refuge. You are our defense. And we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The devil is defeated. God is exalted. The Holy Spirit is present. And Jesus Christ is. He's Lord.
Lord, how can I say I love you when I put other things above you? You forgive me. We know the only way to live is learning how to die. 'Cause then and only then will you be Lord of my life. There's a price to pay. Death to die. There's a crown to gain, a joy to find when I totally commit myself to you. Not my will, but thine be done. Lord, I wanna be just like the sun, undeservedly surrendered now. There's so many ways that I can go, but any way from you I'd be alone. I know you know what's best, so not my will, but thine be done. If there be any other way, then take this cup away from me. 'Cause I hate the thought of walking up to Calvary. But if that's what I must do, then I'll be willing, Lord, to faithfully obey you. And the glory that awaits me when at last in you I find abandonment to self-esteem and total peace of mind. Yet there's a price to pay, a death to die. But there's a crown to gain, a joy to find when all of who I am belongs to you. So not my will, but thine be done. Lord, I wanna be just like the sun, unreserved. Now to thee. There are so many ways that I can go, but any way from you I'd be alone. I know you know it's best to not